So 3 years ago, Jared Lowndes was killed in an encounter with police in Campbell River. Now, that led to numerous investigations to the point where the Independent Investigations Office concluded that there were, quote, reasonable grounds to believe there might have been some offenses committed relating to use of force. And from that point on, you know, there were further decisions made, in this case by the BC Prosecution Service, not to charge the RCMP officers involved in that death, said that it would have been too difficult to get a conviction and they didn't believe they could do it, so they weren't going to. Well, this is not sitting well with a lot of people who say that Jared Lowndes deserved to have some more recognition for what happened to him. We're going to talk more about this case now. Grand Chief Stuart Phillip is with us, President of the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
So what is it that you're calling for in this case?
Accountability, quite frankly. We find this to be very, very disturbing outcome, given the fact the IIO recommended charges be laid, and somehow the BC Prosecution Services simply swept that aside and allowed these offending officers to not suffer any consequences for the death of Mr. Lowndes under the circumstances that he was brutally shot and killed at Tim Hortons in Campbell River.
What happened to him that day? What happened in this case?
Well, to begin with, I think we need to understand that Mr. Lowndes was targeted and framed by the Campbell River Police Service as a dangerous person, which sets him up for, you know, for extreme measures. And he was cornered at the Tim Hortons by several police vehicles. They actually breached his window and put the police dog in there, which, you know, they're trained to chew people up. And Mr. Lowndes, in self-defense, managed to kill the police dog. And he was rammed by another police cruiser on his driver's side. And yet they contend that he represented a threat and was subsequently shot by two police officers. I believe that he was shot in reprisal for killing the police dog. You can well imagine when the dog was stabbed, you know, it must have been making god-awful noises, which I think triggered the actions of the police officers. And they contend he jumped out of the car with his knife, and that he killed the police dog with, and I find that hard to believe if they rammed the side of his vehicle.
It was almost like a domino, like falling here, wasn't there, Chief Phillip? Because it started with the way his picture was circulated and what they were looking for him for, and it kind of escalated to this point. Do you think there were a lot of mistakes made along the way here that police aren't talking about?
Absolutely, yeah, but what's more disturbing about this situation is it's not an isolated case. It's with police agencies, the RCMP for sure, it's become a systemic issue where there's the shooting of Indigenous people, particularly men, but women too. Chantal Moore was shot in Atlantic Canada 4 times by an enormous police officer, and she weighed about 90 pounds. And, you know, it's the same argument from police agencies. We felt our life was in danger. And it's becoming normalized to the point where there has to be a high-level intervention to stop this killing of Indigenous people and people of color without any consequences, without any accountability.
When you say a high-level intervention, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, I think it's obviously the police services themselves simply circle the wagons and nothing happens. They protect their members and they're exonerated at the end of the day. We need a massive legislative change, policy change, and quite frankly, a change of leadership within police agencies at the highest levels. This has got to stop.
What happens next year? Has there been any, you know, discussion about this with police, about sitting down and talking about what happened here?
Yes, absolutely. This is not over. The First Nations Leadership Council is having discussions. Certainly the family is not going to stand down. The late Jared's mother, Laura Holland, is not going anywhere soon. And she's talking about what, you know, what's available to all of us to address this, you know, very serious issue in this country of police agencies shooting down people of color, Indigenous people, Black people in the streets of our cities.
Chief Phillip, what is the communication like when it comes to dealing with police when something like this does tragically happen? Is there communication? Is there discussion?
Meaningful discussion? No, absolutely not. It's a very strained relationship. It's it has historic dimensions in regard to the relationship between RCMP and Indigenous people, the dismal relationship, and it continues to worsen. We all know there's you know, there's a rise in racist notions in this country in regard to violence, racialized violence on our streets. And certainly police agencies are caught up in that. I believe that, you know, the recruitment of police officers has been an absolute failure. Because there are individuals that harbor these racist notions that seek to become police officers, which gives them that authority to, you know, to mistreat and abuse and beat people of color to the point of shooting them without consequence.
Well, thank you for your time today. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much.
That is Grand Chief Stuart Phillip, President of the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs. I think you get a sense of the anger, the frustration there. We were talking about the case of Jared Landis, who's a Campbell River man, a Wet'suwet'en man who was killed in an altercation with police and found out, this family did, friends did this week, that the BC Prosecution Service is not going to be laying any charges in this case, even though the Independent Investigations Office had said that there is a likelihood that, yes, this case could stand up in court. Prosecution Service doesn't think so they're not going to be pursuing it. And yeah, there's a lot of anger and frustration there. How many times have we heard a story like this, right? It's all about the discussion, I guess, and the sitting down and having that genuine, meaningful consultation, as Chief Phillip was saying there. It doesn't sound like that's happening yet.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.